All right, I believe we are on, and last week we did stewardship, and this week it is lesson five, a Christian's vision, So open your books up to lesson five, and if you're there, I'm going to go ahead and read this first part here, and then we'll get started. A Christian's vision, seeing things as God sees them. In Proverbs 29:18, right at the top there says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When you look at that verse, you have to look at it and say, you know, what does it mean? And we're going to define vision and find out what it means to have Christian's vision. See things as God sees them. And so we'll just pray and then we'll go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Just help us now to learn what it means to have Christian vision, what it means to see things as you see them, Lord. And I pray, Father, this be a great help to us and that we'd have open hearts to learn. Please help us now, Holy Spirit. Teach us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Nico. How are you doing? So let's divine vision. And why don't you read A there? Nico, why don't you start? Read A.
We often think of a vision as an apparition.
Apparition.
The seeing of an angel or of the future, etc. But it is simply seeing things as God sees them, according to His word, His law.
Yes. So it's not some kind of ghost we're talking about here. We're talking about seeing things as God sees them. And it's getting a vision according to the word of God. Okay? So when it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people suffer when they don't have a vision the way God says it in the Bible. When you can't set your goals in life and see things as God sees them, then you're going to begin to suffer a loss in your life. That's what the word perish means. But because it tells us that he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You start living for God. You start getting goals in your life the way God sets them forth in his word. You start getting a vision for what God wants to do in your life. And you're going to be a happy person. And you're not going to suffer the people that perish. They suffer loss in their life. We want to have vision in our lives. We want to have biblical vision. So here are a few scriptures that express the thought about a Christian's vision or God's view on things. So number one,
Christians need to be able to see God working in their lives. Matthew 5:8.
All right, let's turn there.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So they shall see God.
Right. The filling there is, they shall see God. You know, you need to be saved in order to see God and be with Him eternally. You need to be saved. But when you look at the verse, bless all the pure in heart. You know why a lot of people don't have any vision is? They're not living for God. They don't have a heart for God. Their heart's not pure. We don't read our Bibles. And we don't care about the things God cares about. So why would we ever have a vision that God would have if we're not reading our Bibles? You see what I'm saying? It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we started living for the Lord and drawing near to Christ and trying to be like Jesus Christ, and that would drive us into our Bibles, and we would see Christ, we'd have a vision. Like Christ has a vision for lost souls. The reason the church has no burden for souls is because they don't see souls as Christ sees them, as either eternally lost or eternally saved. You know, we need to see people the way God sees them. Have a vision. Have a vision. And if we had a pure heart, if we had a heart that wanted to please God and wanted to walk with God, and every day, God would give us that vision because we begin our Bibles. Do you see what it's telling us? The vision is a biblical vision. It's not something outside of the Bible. When a Christian has vision, it's a Bible-based vision. That's what that verse is saying. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Your vision is based upon the Scriptures. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't have a heart for God, if your heart isn't right with God, you're not going to have any vision. And you're not going to live for the Lord. And you're not going to have any goals, and you're not going to want to do the will of God. And number two there.
Christians are too often like blind physicians, trying to fix other people's lives when their life is a mess. Matthew 7:5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
So what's the fill-in there, number two?
Clearly.
Clearly. Then thou shalt see clearly. Another reason we don't see clearly is because we have a beam in our own eye.
A beam.
You know, we may want to really help somebody, but we're not able to help somebody because our own life is a mess. Now, this person here, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. He just wants to pretend like his life is okay. Everything's fine with him. And he's going to judge this other person and say he needs to help him. You need help and I can help you. And Jesus is saying, you're just a hypocrite. You're just a pretender. And you need to get right with God in order to help somebody else. In order to see clearly to help somebody else. If you find yourself not being able to help another Christian who's having problems, because you're not right with God. You know, and if you had victory in your own life, you'd be able to see clearly that people have burdens and you'd be able to help them. You see? Have a vision to see how people need help. People need somebody to come up alongside of them and help them get right with God. The problem is, we're all blind physicians, as it says. Christians are often like blind physicians. I know you wouldn't want somebody working on your appendix, Bozzy, that was blind. You want a physician that can see, right? You want a doctor that knows what he's doing. And he's not pretending to be a physician. When Christians pretend and they act like everything's okay with their life and they start judging others, it's one thing that happens when a person's not right with God. They get critical of others. And I can help you with your life. Your life's a mess. But really, they need to get their own life right. Because they got a big beam in their eye. They really can't see to help the person who just has a little mote in their eye. You see? So we need to get right with God so we can see clearly to help people. Number three there.
You need to be able to see God's what for your life. Act 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So the filling there is vision.
God's vision, right. You need to be able to see God's vision. Now, what you have to do is wait until you see this vision in the night. And this man saying, come over to Ireland. Dan, come to Ireland. Does it happen like that today? Do we see visions in the night at the foot of our bed? Little guy sitting on the foot of the bed saying, come to Ireland.
Some people claim they do.
Yeah. And you know what's happened to them. They're either on pharmaceuticals or something's not right. They had some bad mushrooms or something. That doesn't happen now. We have the Word of God. God, Paul was getting revelation from God. The Spirit was working and telling him to come over to Macedonia. And that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. But for us, it's the Word of God. How are you going to know what God wants to do in your life, Bozzy? You just need to be in the Word of God, daily walking with the Lord, and being obedient to your parents, being obedient to your pastor, just walking with God every day. And He'll show you. He'll direct your steps. Nico, He's going to direct your steps. Johan, He'll direct your steps if you just walk with God. And be in your Bible, though. You have to be in your Bible so you get a vision, God's vision for your life. This is how the Spirit works in our life. It's through the Word of God, right? He's not showing us visions on the wall or something like that. He uses other people. He uses the Word of God to speak to us. You're not going to hear anything that's outside of the Word of God. God's going to speak to us through His Word. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. I was 48 when God said you're going to go to Ireland. So it really doesn't matter how old you are. You just need to be sensitive to what God wants to do in your life. That's all. Okay? But you're not going to have that. The Spirit's not going to be able to prompt that in your heart unless you're in the Word of God. And daily being obedient to what you know God wants you to do today. You know, I didn't see Ireland when I first got saved. I just went to the discipleship and I sat and listened to somebody teach me. And then I went out with somebody and stood as a silent partner at the door. And I went to church every week and sat there in my Sunday school class. I just did what I was supposed to do. Slowly but surely, God said, come on. You know, He let me know. Now, simply put, a Christian needs to see his or her circumstances from God's viewpoint and by faith believe that everything will work out for good. Not many people can truly see life like they should. Now, why? Number one there, Ozzy.
Because of sin and something blinds us to spiritual things. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
What's the fill in there? Who is that blinds the minds of them which believe not? What work is that? Who does that work, Ozzy? No? Who blinds the minds of them that believe not? Huh? Yeah? It's the devil. Yeah, now for us, the devil can work in our lives too if we're away from God, if we have sin in our lives and our thought life is a mess, you know. We're not thinking on the things of God, and the devil will use that, will plant thoughts in our minds and we can entertain them, and pretty soon we're not thinking clearly, you know. We have no vision, and we can be blind to spiritual things. Well, that's what the devil does to unsaved people, and our own sin can blind us to the things that God wants us to do. So, one of the reasons you won't be able to see God's vision is because of the sin in your life. We just have to keep our lives right with God. And God makes it pretty simple for us, and we'll just confess our sins and forsake them. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's us that don't want to confess that sin. We want to hold on to it. And we'll always be blind to what God wants for our life. God's not going to take us to this step until we get this right. Okay? We don't expect to be a missionary or whatever God wants to do with your life and get to there. First you have to get to here, and you have to keep walking with Him to get to there, and then to get to there, you know? Okay. And then number two, Amanda.
Religion and our self-righteousness blinds us. Matthew 23:26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
So you see this Pharisee, this blind, that's what Jesus called him now, blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You see the Pharisee, what was he concerned about? He was concerned about the outside. He was concerned about the outside, how people saw him. He was self-righteous. He wanted to put on a good appearance for everyone. You see, they're concerned about the temporary instead of the eternal. That's what the Pharisee was concerned about. Now, don't just look at the Pharisee. Look at our own lives. Are you concerned about the outside, or are you concerned about the inside? Are you concerned about the temporary, or are you concerned about the eternal? Those things which are eternal. It will determine whether you're self-righteous, whether you're more selfish in the way that you think and the way that you act. Are you concerned about the visible things or the invisible? It's all about that's the way a Pharisee thought. What do people see? It's what does God see that's really important. And he's talking about the heart. Get your heart cleaned up. You clean this up and the outside will take care of itself. That's why people need to get this relationship right. Whether it be a husband, whether it be a wife, whether it be a son, a daughter. Once you get this relationship right, all this takes care of itself. It really does. It's your relationship with God, first and foremost. And so be concerned about spiritual things. And the carnal things will take care of themselves. I mean, we do need to eat. We do need to keep ourselves orderly and dress right and all that. But you get this right, that'll take care of itself. The Pharisee was just concerned about what people see on the outside. And what's the other verse there? The other chapter 15.
Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, whoever you're leading in your life, somebody's watching you. Make sure you're not a blind leader, you know. Make sure you're keeping your eyes on the Lord so you can, you know, help them and take them down the right path. So we don't want to just look at ourselves. We want to look to Jesus Christ. We want to look to the Savior. We don't want to be a blind leading the blind. All right, number three there, Kat.
Only salvation blind our eyes, Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Open?
Yep, only salvation opens our eyes. You were in darkness, so was I. I was in darkness. This book didn't mean a thing to us at all. Who all read their Bible before they got saved? Daily reading was the Bible. No, we never read the Bible. We didn't pray. Well, we may have prayed. We may have been religious. That happens. There's a lot of people that are lost but prayed. But it was when we got saved that our eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, the Bible became alive to us, and we started to desire the things that God desired. And salvation did that. Salvation opened our eyes. And it turned us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Now we're free. Now we're free to serve God. And God wants to give us a vision in order to serve Him. So now that we're saved, we can have the right vision. Right? We can have God's vision for our life.
A little side question. Are we sent to open their eyes? Is that what it says? Like,
Yes, we are sent to open their eyes, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. We have the gospel. Right? We give them the gospel, and they get saved, and they turn from darkness to light. That's what we're to do. Someone told Honeys how to be saved, right? Someone told Bozzy how to be saved. It was freely given to you, and you need to freely give it to someone else. To open their eyes, because they're in darkness. Right? Okay. Amen. All right, where are we here? Jesus. Yeah, number four. Who has that? Go ahead.
Jesus spent a lifetime healing blind men to show our need to have our own spiritual sight or vision restored. Matthew 11:5. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Yeah, he actually healed the blind, gave them their sight. All right, Mark chapter 10, all right?
And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And he called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
So he not only had his eyes physically opened, seems to me like he began to follow Jesus, became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I guess you could pretty much say everybody at this table is saved. We know Christ is our personal Savior. And he's given us spiritual sight. And what are we doing with it? You know? Is our vision clouded? Did he not open our eyes? And none of us were blind, physically blind when we got saved, right? You could see. And now you've had your eyes open, I've got my eyes open. What's your vision? What vision has God given to you? Now you need to search your heart to see what vision has God given me. What does God want me to do? Because through that, this man here, when Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, "Open my eyes. I want to be able to see." Man, he wanted to see. We get to see every day physically. What are you seeing spiritually? He began to follow Jesus. We're already saved. We physically can see. What do you want to see spiritually? What kind of vision do you have for God? What has God laid on your heart? Anything? If not, we need to seek Him. We need to cry out like Bartimaeus and say, "I'm blind. Open my eyes, Lord. Give me some vision." He'll do it. I guarantee you He will. He wants to show you what He wants to do in your life. Each and every one of us here. So, Jesus spent a lot of time healing blind men to show our need to have our own spiritual sight restored. Look, we have the Spirit of God in us. It's just a matter of if we're seeing things as God sees them. I don't want to have clouded vision. Now, why having good spiritual vision is important in a Christian's life? Go ahead and read A for us there. Jim?
Without proper vision, without a good view of your circumstances, you will give up. Vision is important for you to be able to trust God and live by faith instead of only by physical sight.
So we need to have a right view of things. We need to be in our Bible and we need to live by faith. Read B there. Yeah, go ahead, read B too.
Without asking God to show you His hand at work in your life, believing that God is working all things together for good, you will start to blame God and start to become bitter at the troubles you face.
Yeah, I mean, do you want God's will for your life? Do you want to see things the way God sees them? Or do you think there's something better out there? You know? Are you living your life by faith? Or are you living your life by sight? Are you living your life for others? Or are you living it for yourself? Are you living it for God? Or are you living for the devil? I mean, where's our vision today? We will start to blame God when things aren't going so well. We'll start to become bitter. at the troubles that we face. And we think that we need something better, that we're desiring something better than God has for us. At least that's what we think anyway. But we need to get our hearts right with God. We need to trust God and ask God to give us a vision. Come on. What does God need to do in my life? And he wants to do something. He has a plan. The moment he saved you, he had a plan for your life. Do you want God's plan for your life? If you do, God will reveal that to you. It's never God's fault here. God's not dragging his feet. It's us that aren't really like blind Bartimaeus. Lord, open my eyes. I want to see what you see. I want to do what you want me to do. He may say, keep doing what you're doing. Because that's my will for your life right now. Or he may say, would you turn around and go the other way? Because you're not doing what I've asked you to do or what I've called you to do. So let's get the right vision on things. Go ahead and see there.
Without a right vision or view, you will believe what your heart tells you instead of what God tells you.
Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14. I'm going to go through. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 first. That way we'll kind of just keep moving up the, moving to the right. Proverbs chapter 3. What's it say there in verses 5 and 6?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
You see, you can trust your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay? And lean not unto thine own understanding. Now look at verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Look for God's way in everything that you're doing. You can trust your heart as long as your heart desires what God wants. We got to be careful about our heart. I've got a few other verses here. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So what are you really trusting in? Him. Put all your heart and trust in him. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him. See what God wants for everything in my life. What God wants to do. It's just daily. It's just every day obeying God and walking with God every day. And you'll have a vision for that day, what God wants you to do. He shall direct thy paths. You see how good God is? He says, trust me, and I'll show you what you need to do today. You know, he'll direct your paths. Just like any father would direct his son's path if he truly wanted his father's. Father, help me. Direct my path. He would do it. And God will do the same thing. Listen, we need to be sensitive to our children too. We need to be directing their paths. We need to understand that they need us. They may not voice that all the time, but they need us to help guide them in the path. God wants to. He just wants you to trust them. So the father will help the child. The child needs to trust the father. Amen? You see? Now turn to Proverbs 14. In verse 12, would you read that to Johan?
There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah, make sure that you're trusted in the Lord, and not in your own way. Because it might be a way that seems right to you, but it's the ways of death. Now, a Christian's not going to die and go to hell, but a Christian can die physically if they want to walk away from God and get into gross sin. God may just throw up his hand and take you home. But you can also make a mess of your life because you think you got all the answers. And God has been trying to deal with you and speak to you, and your vision is gone. You don't see what God sees. You don't hear what God wants to do in your life. So be real careful about the way that you think is right. If it's not according to God's word and the Holy Spirit's not prompting that thing, you better back off and get along with God and say, I want your way, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to have your vision for my life. And look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28. You can go ahead. Well, why don't you read verses 25 and 26.
He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
Who do we put our trust in? The Lord. We put our trust in the Lord, right? See verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We need to be careful about our heart. Our heart can condemn us, but God is greater than our heart, 1 John 3:19 and 20 says. You know, your heart can steer you wrong. Your heart can even tell you that you're doing something wrong when you're really not. So be careful that you don't trust your heart unless you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You see? Be careful about your own heart. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The only way to walk wisely is by reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. Find out what God says and walk in God's ways. Okay? All right, number one. Hannes, can you read number one there on the book?
For example, that a girl that takes you must be right for you. You had better get God's view on the relationship, not your heart's view.
Well, Hannes, that's not for you. you already have the girl in your dreams. You have Nico. You should have gave that one to Nico and Yolanda Baz. Hannes, it just didn't sound
like it.
Maybe the hard one. Yeah.
For example.
These young guys got to be careful that they don't see with the physical and not the spiritual. You know, you want to find a girl who loves God. They're Christians, right? You're a Christian? And you're looking for another Christian, right? You're looking for a Christian girl. And you want to find a Christian girl who loves God more than all your suave, flashy looks.
Muscles.
And your big muscles. You want to find a girl that's in love with God. God will bring you together.
I was listening to a message of Eric and Tracy the other day, and he was talking about when he got his wife, you know, and he told her, I can't exactly remember how he phrased it, but he told her that he loves God more than her. That's the first thing he told her, and then after that he said that when he was looking for a wife, he's going out soul winning and doing his thing and reaching people, and he wanted a person to help him with that. Like, you know, he wasn't going looking for a wife, but more for someone to help him do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
His wife. Just disappointing for her, I think. But,
yeah. You know? Well, no, that's a good thing. Yeah.
You want someone to help you on the way. Like,
yeah, you want to help me. You want to find a girl that loves the Lord. You know, God can bring two people together. Yes, Kathy.
That's what Dan told me. He loved the Lord more than me, and I said, "What?"
I listened to that. I listened to that message before I took off.
And I was like, but now I understand. I understand that his love for the Lord has made our life great. So,
do you know what was the cool thing? She told him, I hate to break it to you, honey, but I love God more than you do.
Amen. And you know what? That'll just strengthen their relationship. Because, you know, if you don't, if it's based on all physical, and that's sooner or later, those things are going to, the cap left off the toothpaste is going to become a real battleground, you know, deceit. You know what I'm talking about? Deceit, you know, left up. And look, you just got to love God first, and then you'll have a love for each other that far surpasses the physical, you know. It's a spiritual love for each other, sacrificial love. So, yeah, guys, you don't have to jump at the first one. God will bring a girl along that will be the one that God wants you to have. Bozzy, why don't you read number two there?
For example, that you being fired is the worst day of your life, when it probably is God directing your future.
See that? If you've ever been fired, I never have. You have to look at it as God closed one door and he's going to open another door. I mean, really, if you worked as hard as you could, Hannes, and you just worked and you were just doing your job, they said, Hannes, you got to go. You probably wonder, once you're done, you know, we can't have you here anymore. Or you'd have to just say, you know what, Lord? There's nothing I did that caused this. You must be having to open another door. You must have something else, Lord, because I'm just going to trust you that, you know, this is in your hands. So just make sure we just keep our eyes on the Lord, have a vision, keep our vision on God, trust him, and, you know, if you're walking with the Lord and you trust in him, he's going to direct and guide your path. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I can honestly say I've never lost a job I had with the government. I never once was laid off. I don't know what that's like. But I would hope that I'd have, you know, just trust God in these things when the rug's pulled out from under you, you know, and you're like, I'm just trusting in the Lord. I have other things in my life where I had to trust in God. And Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, God's right there all the time, upholding us and helping us through these times. And that's faith. That's just trusting in the Lord. God's not let us down. God will never let you down. There must be a reason for it. So just remember, he's still guiding and directing your life. How about these examples now? Number three, the examples of people in the Bible that had biblical vision. Genesis 37. You just read, all right, Amanda, can you read verses 5 through 11, Genesis 37?
And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Sorry, I lost.
9, 10, 11.
And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying.
Yeah. So Hannes, Bazi has a dream that everybody in the family bowed down to him. His sheaves stood upright, and all the other sheaves just bowed down. People in the youngest. So Joseph has this dream, and he tells his brothers and his father, right? And they're just like, what's going on here? We're supposed to bow down to you, and even the sun, doesn't say, behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So this, they weren't taken too kindly to what Joseph was saying. He had a vision. He had a dream. Now, it asks us some questions here. What did Joseph feel God was showing him about his future? What do you think God was showing Joseph about his future?
was going to become a leader?
That he was going to become a leader. In some way, he would have gained a place of prominence. I mean, his sheep stands up and the others are bowing down. His own parents and his brothers were all bowing down to him. So there was some kind of place of prominence that he was going to attain to. What else? It's almost the same thing. What I thought of was a place of authority. In some way, he's going to be in a place of authority. Now, we know the end of the story. We know what takes place. But what could Joseph probably have thought about this? You know, what did Joseph feel God was showing him about his future? Only that he was in a place of authority and his own family was bowing down to him. I don't think he had a full idea of what was going on. In fact, number two there says, did Joseph understand his dreams? Kathy, what are you saying?
No.
No. Yeah, I don't think he fully comprehended what was happening. Does anybody else feel any other way about that? I don't think so. I don't think he completely understood what the whole circumstance of this was. And
his dad didn't pay attention to what he was saying.
Yeah.
Well, he thought about it at least.
Yeah, he did. He thought about it. It's exactly. It says, and his brother envied him, but his father observed the same. You know. So, but I don't think Joseph was completely aware at all. Now, number three says, how did those dreams affect his view on his troubles? Genesis 39. And in verse 2, 3, and 21, Amanda.
And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And did you say 21?
Yes.
But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
Okay. So he knew that the who was with him. What's the fill in there, DNG? On your paper, number three. The Lord was with him. He knew that the Lord was with him. I mean, in his dream there, Joseph is in a place of authority and prominence. And he knows God's going to be with him because God showed him this vision. So all through the trials that he goes through, the Lord was with Joseph all the time. What is the hardest thing to do with a dream or a vision? What's the hardest thing to do? If God was to give you a vision, Bozzy, God was to put something on your heart, maybe it's God says, point you in the direction of going to Bible college or being a preacher, what would be the hardest thing about fulfilling that?
To believe it.
That's one.
To actually do it.
And to obey it. And to just follow it. Yeah. And that's, I think, the same thing with Joseph. Just to trust God that he's going to come through. And is he really speaking to me? You know, one of the ways to find the will of God is to read your Bible, to pray, talk to your pastor, talk to your dad, right, your parents, and then to just watch God work in your life. God just starts doing things in your life. And he's just directing your steps. He's just pointing you in the direction he wants you to go. But you got to believe it. You got to trust him. So sometimes the hardest thing to do when you get a vision from God is just to say, is this from God? Well, line it up with the Word of God, and God will begin to continue to direct your paths so that you know that it's from God. You're going in the right direction. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just have to trust God. Now, there was someone else here, Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Does anybody know how old Samuel was when this took place in the Bible? Because I really don't know. It just says he was a child. I don't know how old he was, but he was already ministering under the Lord.
But so I went over and
Amy, would you read verses 1 through 10, 1 Samuel 3?
And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went up in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou called me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth.
Amen. Now here's a... He's actually hearing something from God. This is a real calling or vision about his life from his youth. Samuel was given a distinct calling. Now do you think... Did Samuel know that his vision was from God at first? No. It's like Johann's asleep and he hears, Johann. He goes in and shakes Dad. Why are you calling me? God says, will you go to bed?
Yeah, you want to do it the second time?
Yeah. And don't come back. Johann. And this is what he's hearing. I don't think he knew. I think at first he thought it was Eli calling him, right? Well, what happens when God does call? Now, he doesn't. Nico, how did you know you should go to Bible college? Did God say, Nico, how did you feel that you're supposed to go to Bible college?
I just had a desire to do it. I just wanted to do it.
Did any doors open for you once you...
Yeah.
Okay. You see how God can put a desire in us too. The man desire the office of a bishop, you see. And, you know, God calls in their youth. God calls people to work in the ministry. And God calls women to do something in their lives. It's a matter of whether you're listening or not. Do you hear God calling? It's not going to be, Johann. It's going to be out of the Word of God. You're going to feel like God's moving you in that direction. You're going to feel pulled and tugged in that direction. God's calling. And so, how did God help confirm the will of God for Samuel? How did God confirm the will of God for Samuel? How did he help? I mean, God called, and Samuel went in and talked to Eli. How did he confirm the call to Eli? Eli was one way, the priest. Eli was one. What's the other way? He submitted himself, but how did God confirm it?
It says he answered. He asked him.
What did you say?
He called him three times.
Called him three times. Repetition. Over and over again, God kept calling him. Samuel. Samuel. You know, and you can't get away from something. God keeps prodding you. If you do try to get away from it, God may call again. Johann, I want you to do this. I want you to go this way. Fozzie, go this way. And if you don't listen, or maybe you're confused about it, what's God want me to do? I want you to do this. God repeated himself. And then finally, God used the man of God to confirm the call on Samuel. You see? That's good. It was through repetition.
You have peace if you don't obey.
That's true. That's true. You'll feel troubled in your spirit.
Yeah.
But, you know, sooner or later, that can go away, you know. You can get a hard heart and just not listen to God, not listen to God.
Yeah, then you'll be miserable.
And not listen to God. Pretty soon you don't hear his voice anymore. You see? Your heart gets hard and the Holy Spirit just backs up. So we want to make sure that when we hear it, we respond, you know. Samuel responded. He just didn't know where it was coming from. So God called again. So God just looking for a willing heart. And Samuel had a willing heart. And how did the vision help shape Samuel's life and view of his circumstances? Well, God was always in control. I think Samuel realized that God was always going to be in control of his life. He saw the nation of Israel as needing God later on in his life as God worked and used Samuel as a prophet. He saw people for what they were, as wicked and self-centered. And he saw God as rejected by the people. He saw that people wanted a king. And he gave them their king. He gave them Saul. And finally, Samuel was able to see God's right choice for a king and a young shepherd boy named... Who was the young shepherd boy? The second king of Israel.
David.
That's the fill-in. David. David. So, these circumstances helped shape Samuel's view for his future service. He just trusted God. He leaned on God. He knew God was in control. And God would be directing. Now, God wants to do the same thing with your life. God wants to do the same thing with my life. He wants to reveal himself to us through the Word of God. He wants to give us a vision for our life. He wants to do something in your life. It doesn't matter who you are, age, any of that. God wants to use you for something in your life to bring glory to him. And you're trying to give us all a vision. Now, you may be on that path right now. You may not be. But you need to make sure that you're at least looking for what God wants to do with your life. Now, there are limits on a Christian's vision. 3 day there, Jim.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey.
God does not ask you or direct you to do anything against Scripture. So vision is not a new revelation. That is, God would not tell you to divorce your wife and go live on a mountaintop in a commune.
No, that's not God.
Did you hear that?
Sometimes I wish you would. Just a joke.
That was not God saying that, Jim. You see, there's no new vision. There's no new revelation. If it's not according to the Word of God, if you can't get a principle out of the Word of God, then it's not from God. God's not working that way anymore. We have the whole Bible. So God's going to work through the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. That still small voice will speak to you what? According to the what? The Scriptures, the Word of God.
Prove all things.
There you go. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Absolutely. So God's not going to tell you something that's contrary to the Scriptures. So if you think you got a vision from God and it's not, you can't find any principle or basis for it in the Scriptures, it's not from God. Now some people say, what do you mean? I know he wants me to do that. It's not in the Scriptures. God's not in this thing. You want to do it, but God's not directing you. And you can feel safe and secure telling someone or counseling someone, no, that's not what God is not telling you to do that. Because God would only tell you to do something through his word. He's going to use his word. Now you can bank on that. So you can rest assured that if what you want to do or you feel compelled to do, you have a scripture. God's leading you through the Scriptures and get on with it. But if not, it's not God directing you. You agreed on that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no new revelation. Benny Hinn's not getting any new revelation. That's what Benny Hinn wants to say is what Benny's saying. It's not from God, if it's not according to the Word of God. God always shows you His will in stages, steps. In other words, God shows you what to do today and gives you a clear vision of what to do. And that's important for new believers, especially. God didn't call me to Ireland when I got saved in 1990. It was all little steps. But God prepares someone for, you don't just go to Ireland. I'd be sitting here and not knowing what to do. I don't even know how I got saved. It takes time. Hey, God calls, puts something on a man's heart. Maybe directs him to Bible college. Maybe directs him under the ministry of another, under a preacher. And then, He doesn't put His hand right on a novice and throw him into a church. At least, that's not God wouldn't do that. So you see how he prepares us. He lays the foundation for us. So God always does it in stages and steps, according to His will, according to the Bible, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the way God works. That's the way God works. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. Just walk in baby steps and He gets you right where He wants you to go. Okay? So He's not going to give you too much more than He can handle. And the big will of God cannot be reached until we are faithful in doing the little things. He's already has already showed us in His Word. And, we could call, they're not really little things. Bible study is not a little thing. Bible study is the basis, the foundation for any movement of God in your life. You're going to have to know what the Bible says. But if you're not faithful in the little things, if you're not faithful to church, why in the world would God call you to do something for Him when you can't even get yourself to church 3 times a week? When you can't read your Bible in the morning, why would God call a man like that? God's not going to call somebody that's not diligently already serving the Lord in some way. He's not going to call a sloth. He's not going to call somebody who doesn't love the Word of God. Do you see that? I mean, at least God's not going to call them anything. There's little things that we need to do. Just being obedient to your parents. You want to be disobedient to your parents? God's not going to put His hand on that. God's not in that. Wives being obedient to their husbands. That's what God wants you to do. If God wants you to do something more, you're going to have to get that straightened out first. And husbands should love their wives. If a husband's not being the husband he should be and the father should be in the home, how in the world are you going to teach Sunday school class and do that right? You see? How is he ever going to be a preacher and take care of a whole church if he can't take care of his own home? So, the big will of God cannot be reached until we're faithful in doing just everyday things, just walking with God. Now, this is why biblical vision is so important to have. So we're going to bring this, wind this up here. Read that one for us there, will you? Nico? Hey.
Biblical vision sees this world as dying without Christ. Most often we just see people, customers, patients, clients, crowds, while a Christian with biblical vision sees souls. See Acts 27:37, where Paul sees all the prisoners and soldiers as souls.
Yep. As souls is the fill-in there, yeah. Acts 27:37, what does Paul say there? Are you there, Johan?
Yeah, I read it. And we were in all in the ship, 260 souls.
276 souls, he said. That's your fill in there. Paul had a vision. He had a biblical vision. He saw the world as Christ saw it. There was 276 souls on that ship that were shipwrecked. He saw them as souls. He didn't say as people. He saw souls. It's important that we, at the end of the day, we see people as souls.
It's funny that when they refer to the sink of the Titanic, they always talk of the number of souls lost. All just with the Titanic. I don't know why.
Well, I guess it's a little farther back in time when maybe there was a bit more morality and God consciousness in people than... And saw them people on that ship as souls.
He always refers to
souls. We should see it the same way today. Biblical vision sees your children as adults one day making decisions that you want to be biblically based, so you have to train them now. Proverbs 22:6, Ephesians 6:4 talks about these things. You can just write them down. Fathers are to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So they ought to, you ought to be overseeing your child's spiritual development. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Biblical vision sees your life as a part of the will of God, doing something that has an impact on this generation instead of as someone that does not matter or is a failure. And every Christian must ask God for a different view on life than they currently have. Hey, every Christian must beg God for his view on your life and circumstances. Search the scriptures and just seek God. And he will reveal himself to you and reveal his will to you. Write down Jeremiah chapter 29 and look that verse, look those verses up. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. If you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Now listen, how to get a Bible-based vision from God. Let me just get through these and give you these. First, it comes through a faithful walk through the Bible. Do you see that? Your fill-in there is faithful walk through the Bible. You know, it all starts and ends with a faithful walk through the Bible. There certainly is not probably enough line there, so you're going to have to write it somewhere else. God talks to us not through dreaming, but through reading the scriptures. God's not going to give you an apparition. He's not going to audibly speak. He will speak to you in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. If you want to starve yourself, keep yourself away from reading your Bible, you won't hear from God. Simple as that. B, secondly, it comes from obedience. Obedience. To the instructions and commands of Scripture, carefully adding Christian character to your life. And 2 Peter 1 talks about adding these different things, faith, virtue, something else, and you just keep growing as a Christian. Ultimately, you wind up with charity or brotherly love, and you grow in your Christian life. You add these things on. But you have to be obedient every day. It's daily obedience helps you to gain these virtues in your life. Thirdly, it comes by faith. You get a Bible-based vision from God by faith, where you start to just force yourself to believe God. You have to just believe God is working everything out in your life and that nothing is left to chance. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to what? Please God. For they who come to God must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. You have to want to draw near to God. You have to diligently seek God. God will reveal Himself to you. If you move closer to God, I guarantee you God will draw near to you. That's what He tells us. And lastly, it comes by prayer. Prayer. A four-letter word that none of us were so afraid of. Prayer. Praying. Just praying. Getting along with God. And God speaks to us in prayer. You don't have to do all the talking, you know, in prayer. You can just be quiet before God. Just kneel by the bed and just lay your head down. And think about God and let God speak to you. But we need to pray. And so lastly comes by prayer, asking God to show you the way to escape from your temptations. He'll show you the will of God for your life. He'll show you the value of a soul near you and where everything in your life is leading. You know, prayer just confirms in our hearts the promises of God, that He is not far away from any of us who call upon Him. And I just wanted to end with that. If you just get alone with God and diligently seek God, He will reveal Himself to you. He'll give you a vision for your life. And you just need to call upon Him and draw near to Him. And God will give you a vision for your life. And then, remember what I asked you, Baji, what do you do when He reveals the vision? Just obey it. trust him, follow him, and it'll be a great ride, I guarantee you. If you just get a vision for the things that God wants you to do with your life, all right? That's Christian's vision. Amen? Rico, would you close us in prayer?
You know, in the verse he talks about